Using high-octane language, a judge supercharges what could become a wave of corporate mergers. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, we already knew that inflation as experienced by consumers rose to its highest pace in 6 years. Today, it is wholesale inflation running at a six-year high of 3.1% annualized. That'll factor into today's big meeting to set U.S. interest rates in Washington. There's so much uncertainty in the world and in markets, but now a moment of certainty in just over 4 hours. Ready, Susan? The
Fed will raise interest rates today.
That's Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. All right, Susan, they will, but we want to know if they might do it again quickly or a lot of times this year. What are you going to be looking for?
The question mark around this is what the Fed does going forward, and is 2018 going to be a year of three interest rate increases or possibly four? And the language in the statement and exactly what adjectives and adverbs they use are going to be the tip-off to how the market thinks.
Well, they tend to say that they have an accommodative stance. They have to kind of nurture the economy. You think they might maybe back away from that a little bit?
I think what they are going to try to communicate is to remind the market that they are there to support it, but that they are seeing us enter back into a normalized environment where it's natural and healthy to see interest rates start to creep up.
All right. Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Trump administration has lost its bid to stop AT&T from buying the content company Time Warner for $85 billion. Yesterday, a federal judge said the merger was A-OK by him. Now let's get a clearer sense of the federal judge's quite vivid ruling here. Michael Carrier is a professor at the Rutgers Law School and follows issues of competition and monopolies. Good morning.
Good morning.
The basic distinction, the vertical merger versus the horizontal merger. Reading this opinion, is there ever the possibility that a vertical merger might violate antitrust law after this decision?
Yes, there definitely is. So typically, antitrust law is worried about horizontal mergers. Horizontal mergers are between direct rivals. And the fear there is that if you take one of those rivals off the market, then price could go up and consumers could suffer. With vertical mergers, in contrast, it's tougher to show anti-competitive harm. And the judge recognized that because you don't have the direct elimination of a rival. So you need to show a real story for how the consumer is going to be hurt. And the judge recognized that in theory, a vertical merger could violate the antitrust laws. It's just that he found that this one did not.
This judge was not buying what the government was selling, was he?
He absolutely was not. He rejected all of the Department of Justice's factual basis and economic basis for its case, and it really was an across-the-board loss for the government.
Reading the opinion, did you see where the government's case came a cropper? Did you see where they went wrong in the judge's view? Was it clear to you?
It was. It was basically everything that the government relied on. If the government introduced a witness, the judge thought that the witness was not persuasive. If the government relied on an economic model, the judge thought that the model was not persuasive. And so it really was a strong loss for the government.
The judge is kind of salty language there. What did you say? He used the word poppycock in there?
Yes, he used the word poppycock. There were, by one person's count, 16 exclamation points. I can't ever recommend reading a 170-page opinion. But if I were to recommend it, one with this much salty language was one that is a little interesting to read.
What do you think? This will be like throwing jet fuel on the coals of mergers and acquisitions in America? Do you think this will drive other ones?
I think that this will. This will make it a lot harder for the Department of Justice to sue. It certainly can sue, and it can win in court. It just needs an airtight case, and this case was not airtight. And so I think DOJ will be very careful before bringing another one of these cases.
Michael Carrier is a professor at the Rutgers Law School. Professor, thank you for this.
Thanks for having me.
And beyond this ruling, what also could drive a feeding frenzy of mergers and acquisitions? Remember, the tax overhaul that has made corporations so flush, that cash is burning a hole in their pockets, sparking visions of corporate shopping sprees. The massive farm bill gets reviewed by the Senate Agriculture Committee today. A House version failed after agreement could not be reached over work requirements for people who get food assistance. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports on where this is going.
The Senate bill is less partisan than the House one was, but that doesn't guarantee it'll pass. Chris Edwards is with the Cato Institute. He says a lot of conservatives aren't happy.
The bill doesn't have any of the food stamp reforms that the House wanted to put on, and it doesn't really have any farm subsidy reforms either.
If it doesn't pass, that isn't the end. Michigan State University's Christopher Wolf says,
if I had to place a bet, I would bet that we roll the current one.
Meaning keeping current funding in place until after the midterm elections. This is common practice.
The 2002 Farm Bill was supposed to be the 2001, and the 2008 Farm Bill was supposed to be the 2007.
2014, same deal. Andrew Walmsley is with the American Farm Bureau Federation. He really hopes it'll pass this year. Says a lot of work's already gone into it.
You inject a lot of uncertainty. If you do a one-year extension, I don't believe it gets any easier in a new Congress.
And the longer it gets put off, the harder it is for farmers to make plans. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
And a divided Seattle City Council yesterday repealed a tax on big companies such as Amazon and Starbucks, a tax by number of employees. The idea first approved just the other day, raised money to help with affordable housing and homelessness there, but the businesses went ballistic, arguing it penalizes hiring. Advocates say the success of the big companies is driving up real estate prices, causing hardship for lower-income residents. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.